When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Paul Blake Smith back with us, born and raised in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He's the product of that city's public school system and then attended Southeast Missouri State University at the Cape. Along with my son did that and also one of my granddaughters. He has a 4-year degree in mass communications with a major with an English minor. The grandson of a Cape Girardeau attorney of 50-plus years and also a U.S. grandson, actually. Also a U.S. commissioner, city attorney, and community leader. Paul is the son of a local paralegal and an educator who worked in the suspected crash area within neighboring Scott County. A fan of American history and popular culture, he now lives and works in a city in the western part of the Show Me State, writing original screenplays and other books on largely historical, nonfiction subjects, including a follow-up to his original fact-based publication, MO41, The Bombshell Before Roswell. Paul Blake Smith, back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Paul, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, and happy President's Day.
Absolutely. My son still raves about SEMO. Loved that school.
It is a good school, and I'm glad I went there. It was a lot like high school in Cape Girardeau, only with the classes further apart, and you had to walk up and down these steep hills. In the summertime, you work up a sweat just getting to your classroom, but otherwise, it was a great university.
I used to drive out there a lot to pick him up and stuff like that, and then one of my granddaughters graduated from there with a degree in hotel management. She just loved
great.
It, had a great time there. How did you get involved in these UFO stories?
When I was researching the Cape Girardeau UFO crash of 1941, I kept happening across a story that I had read some years earlier, and it intrigued me, this idea that President Eisenhower actually met with friendly extraterrestrials at an Air Force base at a hangar near a runway. And I always found that very exciting, and I thought, has anyone ever researched this thoroughly and done a book? So I thought, no one has, and I wrote that, and it came out a few years ago, and it's done quite well, a lot of good reviews, and along the way, I found the date February 19th kept popping up. For example, that's when Eisenhower snuck away from his Palm Springs, California vacation to go out to Edwards Air Force Base in a prearranged meeting. And 10 years later exactly, Lyndon Johnson was president, and he was on the phone with Eisenhower on that 10-year anniversary date. LBJ got on a plane and flew right out to Eisenhower and met with him a number of times, some in private. There are some gaps in his schedule, and you kind of wonder what the two of them were up to that was so very important they had to meet in Palm Springs. There were two Air Force Ones on the ground at the local airport, even though LBJ did not have a vice president in the aftermath of the assassination of President Kennedy. And then 14 years after the 1954 event on February 19th, LBJ went back to Palm Springs and met again with Dwight Eisenhower in his retirement. And they played golf together and huddled in private. And soon we had a new president, Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And so on February 19th, 1973, it's been alleged by Jackie Gleason's wife that Jackie came home one night and spilled the beans on just where they were, an Air Force base with the President of the United States. Does this theme sound familiar? And there were extraterrestrials involved. So I thought, where's a book on this? There isn't any, so I thought I would spend the next few years researching and writing it, and it should be out in late April, early May of this year. I thought President's Day is an excellent time to talk about it, don't you?
Perfect timing. That book's going to be called The Nixon-Gleason Alien Encounter.
That's correct, from Foundations, and hopefully we'll get that out before people want to buy a book for reading this summer at the beach. But it's just an amazing story about what basically boils down to Jackie Gleason blurted out to his wife at the time, and she told a tabloid in a quick interview one year later when she was separated from Jackie just what her husband came home and said. And Jackie got on the phone, and he was just livid when he read this in a tabloid and said, you know, this was not supposed to be something you were to tell anyone. And he was peppered with questions by some press and people in the entertainment industry. Did this really happen? And he refused to give an answer. He just would not comment.
He wouldn't deny it, though, would
he? That's right. He didn't say it didn't happen. All he had to do is say, oh, this is a bunch of bunk and junk. Get out of here. I don't want to hear about this. But he did not. And one thing I read in Jackie's biographies is that he was known as a real straight shooter, a very honest man. He didn't make up a lot of nonsense. He did do his share of drinking. But he didn't start making up tall tales, that he liked facts, and he went really overboard for the facts on UFOs from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. He would buy up every book and periodical he could get his hands on the subject, and then he would call up the authors and quiz them at length about UFOs, and even the subjects who saw UFOs in the books. He would meet with them in person and pepper them with questions. So he took the subject amazingly seriously.
He used to listen to the Long John Nebel Show.
That's right.
A long, long time ago, which was what I think the first of the paranormal genre radio shows,
right,
wasn't
it? Back in the 50s, he was the Art Bell of his time, or the
yep.
George Norrie. And he would host this New York City-based show, and Jackie was an insomniac, and he would wake up and listen, and then he would call in at times. Just as I was finishing some research for the book, I found Jackie talking to Frank Edwards on the Long John Nebel Show. And Jackie said, quote, and you can hear this tape online, the sound quality is not very good. He said, I just told Edward R. Murrow that I think UFOs are the most important subject going on in the world today. That's
wow.
How seriously Jackie took it. And he actually said this on the air. So in his day, it was considered still by some a little kooky. It was not as mainstream as it is today. He went out on a limb to get so heavily involved in this subject.
Did Nixon go to Gleason, or did Gleason go to Nixon when they went down to Homestead Air Force Base in Florida?
From what I understand, it may have been a case of Nixon finally contacting Jackie. The two had played golf since their early 60s. For over 10 years, they were golf buddies in South Florida. So you know that Jackie was obsessed with UFOs. He had to have asked Nixon over and over,
yep.
And Nixon would not tell him. Big state secret. He knew he wanted to be president again and would run again. He hadn't been president, but he had been vice president under Eisenhower. So Nixon had to keep the secrets to himself. But by early 1973, Nixon was in a bind. His henchmen had been caught burglarizing the Watergate Hotel and Democratic National Headquarters, their offices,
yep.
With Larry O'Brien's office.
He was toast.
Yeah, and so they all got caught, and Nixon needed to raise hush money. And you can hear transcripts or read them to this day of Nixon being very upset by January of 73, saying, where are we going to get this hush money? Just tearing his hair out over this. A few weeks after the Jackie Gleason encounter, Nixon was quite calm and said, oh, yes, I know where we can get that money. It's not a problem. Now, Jackie had been offering on the air over the years, first $50,000 to anyone that would produce proof, absolute proof, of extraterrestrials.
Uh-huh.
Then he jacked it up to $500,000, and that didn't get him anything, so he went up to $1 million by the the late 60s. I'll give $1 million to anyone who can give me absolute hard proof. So do we have to put two and two together, or can we add up four?
So Nixon was the guy.
Yeah, Nixon needed the money. He knew Jackie had this obsession, and all he had to do was show him something real quick at Homestead Air Force Base, where Nixon had been in and out 55 times. Nixon flew down to Key Biscayne to his beach house during his presidency, and he would always use Homestead Air Force Base. He was there a lot. So something was brought in or was there,
mm-hmm.
and that's how he picked up Jackie, I believe by helicopter. They went to the base directly, and Nixon finally gave Jackie what he wanted, satisfied his curiosity. And since they shared the same lawyer, a man named Herbert Kalmbach, I think a financial arrangement was very likely put together off the books, as Nixon was quite fond of doing, so that he could have the money to pay the Watergate defendants who broke in and did the burglary and their legal fees and pay for their families and their kids. So there was a real motive for both of them to go ahead and do this.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You think Jackie actually had the money that he really thought that somebody was going to come forward and give him the information?
Believe it or not, yes, he made a ton of money, and he spent it very freely. He would make up to like $14 million per year from his movies, TVs, record albums, personal appearances. He was immensely wealthy, and that was a lot of money back then.
It was a fortune then.
Yeah, and so he spent it quite freely, and $1 million was nothing to him. He had to have this proof. He was the king of TV and king of movies, and he always got whatever he wanted, and he was very frustrated that he couldn't see a UFO. and that he wanted that proof, even though he read all of these books and heard about other people seeing UFOs or maybe even an extraterrestrial, allegedly.
I could see Nixon telling Jackie right now, I'm going to show you a UFO.
Yes. Another factor was Jackie's birthday was coming up in just about 9 days from the 19th, I think it was. That's my birthday, actually. It was 9 days after the 19th. Jackie's, I think, was the 26th of February. But anyway, what do you get Jackie, the man who has everything, but yearns for this one thing that's always been out of his reach?
What did Nixon reportedly show him, Paul?
According to Beverly Gleason, Jackie's wife at the time, he came home and said, I just saw the bodies of four dead aliens President Nixon showed me at Homestead Air Force Base. And he said that he apparently didn't give a color of their skin, but he said they were about 2 feet in height, maybe a little more, a little less, stretched out on four tables, examining tables in this kind of laboratory. So that you had to imagine Jackie's reaction to this. He must have been absolutely staggered, but here was finally the proof. He said they looked like they had been embalmed. And when you go back to the old 1955 Hopkinsville, Kentucky case, you know, of the family out in the country that felt they were under siege,
yes,
by aliens, the descriptions match perfectly. He said they had big ears and pretty big eyes, and were about 2 feet tall. So maybe it was the same race. He seemed quite serious about it, his wife said, and this was not a joke. She said he was really shook up.
Were these from Roswell, Cape Girardeau? Where do you think?
She didn't say if he said. I wonder how much he withheld from his wife that night. He was hosting a golf tournament, and he just seemed to disappear one evening. And when he came back close to midnight, she said he was pale and trembling, and he looked haggard and like he had really been through quite a shocking experience. So he didn't really say too many details, or he didn't want to. He was either too traumatized. He did say he was sworn to secrecy. So he immediately broke some of that oath as soon as he got home. But it's only natural if you're in a legal case, they call that an excited utterance when you're in the traumatic experience of something that happened in a legal sense. Well, in this sense, Jackie was all shook up when he got home, and he blurted out what I think is the truth. On the 19th, the anniversary of contact from Eisenhower, Nixon's old boss.
We're talking with Paul Blake Smith. His book that's coming out is called The Nixon-Gleason Alien Encounter. We'll also talk about President Eisenhower's close encounters after the break, and then the situation in Cape Girardeau that is a bombshell before Roswell happened in 1941. Roswell was 1947, of course. I would have loved to have interviewed Jackie Gleason.
Afterwards. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he would have said, but it would have been worth it.
He was amazingly talented. If you ever ran down a list of his skills, he could do pantomime sketches, stand-up comedy, he could dance, he could sing, he could play the trumpet, he created his own music, he was like an orchestral score director, he was the choreographer of his show, he would just throw himself into every performance, and on the sidelines he was actually sucking on oxygen. He was so out of breath, he was such a big heavy man, but he was most well-read, intelligent, and fun. He did smoke and drink a lot, but that was not uncommon back then.
And he used to say how sweet it is.
And it certainly was. He lived the high life in every sense. He really had a great time in life.
What do you think got him interested in UFOs?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm not sure. However, the Eisenhower encounter happened in February of 1954 on the 19th. It was around that time that suddenly Jackie got this obsession with building a UFO house in New York State, just about 35, 40 miles outside of New York, where he lived in an apartment in Manhattan. And so he had custom built this spaceship, this circular house that overlooked the side of this valley. It was on the edge of a cliff, sort of, and with big bay windows. And he filled it with telescopes and a Tesla coil that he felt that Nikola Tesla, the inventor, used to try to contact aliens. And it's a little-known fact, Jackie was also an avid ham radio operator, and he kept turning the dials, listening in, you know, almost as if he expected to catch an alien broadcast or something. That's how obsessed he was. So at least as far back as 54, and you know what? In my research, I found there was a man named Everett Gleason, who was Dwight Eisenhower's national security advisor, and he met with Eisenhower just before he took off for Palm Springs, and records show Everett Gleason met with Eisenhower as soon as he got back to the White House. So Everett Gleason was born in Brooklyn just 10 years before Jackie, and you've got to wonder, is this some sort of relative who could have tipped Jackie off to this amazing encounter in person in Southern California in 54, and Jackie just went ballistic and had to have his own spaceship house and pretend like he's living in one, and he held parties there over the years. He had it custom built in an airplane hangar, of all places. You know, Eisenhower met with aliens in an airplane hangar, so... it's just really strange in how the two stories kind of fit together.
If Gleason was told by Nixon in 73, then he should have been married to Beverly McKittrick at that time.
That is correct. She was his wife for the past few years. When she gave that statement to a tabloid reporter in 74, they had been separated. And Jackie was so furious, they split up. That was the end of their relationship. So she went one step further in 1983.
She's still alive or gone?
I believe she is. I can't find her. I enlisted another investigator. He can't find her either. She would be about 89 years old right now.
What a great interview that would be.
Oh, yeah. She has avoided the press strenuously. She doesn't seem to want to talk about it or write a tell-all book either.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.